Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And the first story that I brought up for us to talk about tonight, because we are a call-in talk radio show. We talk about what's going on from our perspective, and we allow you to call in with whatever is on your mind or what you think about what we're saying. And you can call that number at 603-283-6160. But the first story I brought in is from apnews.com, and the title is, Please Regulate AI. Artists push for U.S. copyright reforms, but tech industry says not so fast. So I titled the show, Dirty Hippies Call for AI Regulation.
Copyright is just such a strange thing.
You know, it kind of is, but A lot of people swear by it. A lot of people want their work copywritten, but it's interesting from a libertarian perspective that, you know, Ian says on the show frequently that you can't copyright an idea, or you can't protect an idea.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Ideas are just ideas. And so when you think about copyright, it's just interesting how we think that we can just say, well, this idea is mine and no one else can have it.
If the human race, you know, got wiped off the earth and then a new race of humans sprung up from, you know, evolution or whatever, and they came up with the same ideas that some other humans had come up with before, it wouldn't take anything away from those
that
people.
But also, like, that would just be a natural occurrence, right?
Yeah,
you know, like, you can assume
a lot.
And I think this a lot, where, like, I'll either be having a thought, or I'll have an idea, or I'll do something, and I'm like, I bet there has to be someone else in the world, or maybe hundreds of people that are doing the same thing, or had the same thought, or like had the same idea. So I might think that my idea is unique, relatively so. But there's no way I'm the only or first person to come up with this thing.
Right. And, you know, I have the same thing where I think of an idea and all of a sudden someone else has the idea and they just get to it first or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. Timeliness, really.
And one thing I heard that makes a lot of sense to me is that the mouth of God is the mind of people. And if God has a thing he wants someone to do, he's going to give them that idea. You'll feel like it's your idea. But if you don't take it, he might go give it to someone else if you don't act on it.
So really, that's God's copyright.
And the other thing about it is I just find it weird when people call it, like, actual theft. It's not theft if you don't lose anything.
Yeah,
or, like, intellectual property. It's just, it seems like that's not... Like, how does intellectual property even exist?
It's funny
because...
You
know, it doesn't make sense.
The people who believe in intellectual property the most usually are less likely to understand their entire lives based on property rights, like actual property.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can't. If you understand property rights, then you would have to realize that intellectual property is not... It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, there's this scandal in pop music. There's an artist I like named Marina and the Diamonds. I guess she just goes by Marina now. And there's this other artist I like named Charlie XCX. And one day, this was like, I don't know, 2015 or something. Like, this is a while ago. One day, Charlie posted a... They're both from the UK, and they're both pop stars, like, with similar fans and music. And one day, Charlie posted a photo shoot that was, like, neon colors and maybe, like, fruit in the background. And Marina, which was just totally jumping the gun and kind of disappointing, commented, wow, that fruit looks familiar, ... And then went and posted on Twitter, like, Copying an artist's intellectual property is literally theft.
No, that's...
Please respect fellow artists.
First of all, not literally theft.
Yeah.
Second of all, Marina, it was Marina that was telling her that she was
stealing
her property. Okay. You are not the first person to do a photo shoot with fruit.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just interesting that they think that, you know, their property is stolen, but they're not losing money, are they?
They're probably not losing absolutely anything.
Well, and it's like you can't have a monopoly on, like, photo shoots with fruit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And
you know, so many people before you have done a photo shoot with fruit.
Yep.
And it's not an entirely unique thing.
Yeah. And what turned out happening, it's so embarrassing for Marina, to be honest. What turned out to be the case, Charlie came out to defend herself, and she was like, I wasn't trying to do anything. I did look at the pictures Marina was referring to, and unfortunately, they do kind of look similar, but I was working with this photographer, and it's the same one that Marina had worked with, and they kind of take a creative direction, yeah.
So it sounds like it's his,
yeah.
You know, that's like his style. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with the actual, like, photographer, you know?
And that's just so embarrassing. I just always think
it
that.
Is, yeah. That makes her, it makes her look really, it just doesn't make her look good.
Yeah.
You know? And we see this with artists a lot, particularly, like, you know, music artists, where, I mean, it's just, you know, there's only so many guitar chords, right? Like, you can always come up with something unique, but to a certain extent, like, a lot of drummers are going to come up with the same or similar beats. And not only that, it's like, as a musician, like, you're constantly drawing from inspiration. I mean, just in general, not even in music, like in any kind of art or any kind of, you know, if you're an author or anything at all, you're constantly drawing from inspiration from people that came before you. I mean, like, that's how rock and roll was created. Like, first we started with, like, you know, they took it from, you know, like, blues music. And then, you know, we had Chuck Berry. And then there was the Beatles. And then, you know, there's Led Zeppelin. So it's like all of those artists were taking... Or you're taking from the music that they grew up with and that inspired them. And that is just a natural human experience. So to say you want, like, to copyright this entire thing that is, like, very broad.
It's like,
it's just, it doesn't make sense, you know?
Everyone's personalities would be, like, theft of everybody they knew in their life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the argument for intellectual property is made because people say, well, this is my idea. This is how it came about, so therefore I own the idea. And yet, at the same time, you know, if you're writing a book, let's say, and you are writing a story and someone else has a similar story, did they really steal your idea? Not really. I mean, they may have lifted some ideas from your ideas, but, you know, every author is going, like Nikki said earlier, we're all building on each other, so let's not worry about intellectual property today.
And that's kind of how people, you know, move forward, is building on each other, and then, like, oh, I'll take this idea and make it, like, a little better in this way.
Yeah, and it's like, where does it start and where does it stop?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, when people are, like, 12-year-old girls, and they accuse their friends of, like, she's copying me. It's literally... happening.
Like, it's the same thing, and it's embarrassing that adults are still doing this. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you wore a skirt today?
I told you I was gonna wear
a skirt. You know what I mean? It's like, grow up. Like, what is this? I don't know. It's just, to me, like, if you're a successful person, and if you're, you know, if you're doing these big, bold, unique things, you shouldn't worry if other people are copying you, because wouldn't you, you know, like, if you're so great, like, you should be doing it better than them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Also, you should be continually doing new things, too. Like, a huge thing I see come up a lot on, if I'm just, like, mindlessly scrolling YouTube or Instagram or something like that, sometimes Twitter, is somebody who makes things claiming that a bigger, a place that's more, like, fast fashion copied their, like, purse design.
Yeah,
or
probably. Yeah.
Clothes design. And they probably did. But the thing about it is, so, like, they're making it cheaper and faster, and people are buying it cheaper because those people have the ability to do it. You only have the ability to make, like, handmade, nice version of it. Well, you should be able to be, you know, competing in the fact that mine is handmade and nicer and stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of people are going to buy those cheaply made ones, but those people are probably never going to be... buying like a really nice handmade one for one thing. And the other thing is no one ever complains when super rich luxury brands get their ideas stolen and then
it comes
the gate and stuff like that because people want this cheap version of
something. Well, it's more accessible. So if like we have this like $1,000 Gucci handbag, you know, people who can't afford that, they want like the knockoff version.
Maybe we just need to realize that, you know, if you have an idea and someone else has a similar idea, find out how you can make your idea better and compete in the market of ideas. This is the way society should work. This is the way we should function.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of brands have marketed themselves as like the original. So when people, when other, you know, companies have kind of taken their idea and either made it, you know, cheaper or whatever, that's how they market themselves to like stay kind of relevant and stay in business, is like, we are the original this thing.
And if that helps you sell more, it's like imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Yeah.
It's like, people are trying to be us now. Buy our original one.
I've also seen companies go out of business. There's this really awesome gun holster company called Can Can Concealment. And they made really high quality holsters. So like, you know, in the woman's self-defense world, it's really, really difficult to find holsters that work with women's clothing, with women's body shape. They kind of, that market a lot of the times caters to men. So whenever you have a company that caters to women and makes high quality products that you know, like I can carry wearing a dress or yoga pants or whatever. So they made all these different kinds of holsters that were geared towards women. And then, there were all of these knockoffs of them. So now you go on Amazon and you can kind of find the same products for a lot cheaper. They're probably not, you know, they're not as high quality. So there's that. But because of that, this company actually went out of business because they were unable to compete with the competition in the market. And it's unfortunate. And I loved the company and I'm like super bummed. Now I have to like scour eBay to find, you know, different holsters from this company. But unfortunately, like that's just the way the market works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it sucks for that company, for Can Can Concealment, because they had an awesome product, but they weren't able to compete in the market. And the market spoke and was like, we don't care about quality. We need it to be cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of people were clearly like that was more important to them.
Controlling the market is much more evil than, you know, one company going out of business that for whatever reason couldn't compete.
But I mean, like,
I don't really understand why. Like, why couldn't they do new ideas / try to make their product
cheaper?
Well,
they didn't, and that's why they went out of business, right? And I mean, companies go out of business all of the time because they are either unable to stay relevant, they're unable to, like, develop and come up with new, unique stuff. You know, there's a million different reasons why your company could go. I have a business. I have a couple businesses. My business could go out of business if I can't compete in the market. You know what I mean? Like, if I can't sell my yoga classes, then, you know, if I'm not a good enough yoga teacher, if I don't have good enough marketing skills, or if I'm not willing to invest enough into my company, yeah, I mean, there are a million other yoga teachers.
Or invest
I could totally
in,
go
or invest
out of business.
In learning yoga yoga techniques or new ideas in yoga, working with yoga.
Yeah.
Got new things to add to your yoga experience.
Yeah, right. Like, if I have these stale classes and I'm doing the same thing every week, like, yeah, you would be smart to go to a different yoga instructor.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, like, not everyone who wants to have the same exact type of business needs to be in the market. Like, do we need, a 10th pizza place in Keene, New Hampshire? Probably not. Like, it probably wouldn't survive. There's, like, a bunch of pizza places.
But if there's the demand, you know, you might think that because maybe you don't value that. But if everybody else in Keene values this pizza,
I could be wrong. It's just the first thing that came to my mind. You know,
my point is really, like, we wouldn't value that. Like, I'm not going to go to any of the pizza. You know, there's only, like, one pizza place I want to go to in Keene that already exists, right? And I'm giving my money to that company.
Buffalo Wild Wings would be nice here. But that's just me.
Yeah. But also, like, in this market, I think Buffalo Wild Wings would thrive.
You know what I mean? Mind a Buffalo Wild Wings because they have a lot of stuff that they make without seed oils, which is so surprising.
So, but Bonnie, like, for us, like, we value that sort of product. We value a product without seed oils. So we're going to, you know, make visiting those restaurants more of a priority, I would say the vast majority of people don't care about that. Hmm. So it really depends.
But they would go to a Buffalo.
They would, yeah. Because they have other appealing factors, right?
There's all kinds of things in Keene, New Hampshire specifically. I've only lived here since 2020, so it's just so weird. It's such a weird market. Like, there are things that open, and I'm like, oh, that's probably going to do really, really well, and then it closes, and I'm like, why did that even close? And yeah. I can't think of a good example off the top of my head. But I guess
personal wants is not always, like, a good, you know, a good reflection of what the entire market wants. You know, like, you might be like, oh, I love going to this restaurant. This is awesome. Like, this is the best restaurant ever. We go every week. And if no one else in Keene agrees with you, if you're the only person frequenting that restaurant, they're going to go out of business. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the greater population of people
in the market thinks.
You know what I mean?
If there's already enough pizza places, just as an example,
in
Keene, New Hampshire, the next person who comes up with one doesn't have some kind of right to not close down if they can't compete.
Exactly.
And it's just like everyone wanting to do the same kind of business isn't like a
and
right.
Also, like the first pizza place that has ever existed in Keene doesn't have a right to be like, there can't be any other pizza places because I have the monopoly on pizza places in Keene. You're like, Little Zoe's can't be like, well, we have this, like, you know, unique sourdough crust that we use.
No one else can do the same crust.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if another pizza place comes to Keene and they're like, we're going to make this crust and we're going to make it half the price of your pizza, they can't be like, you know, authorities, close this pizza place down. They copied me. This is intellectual, you know, a violation of my rights to this intellectual property. Like, that's not how it works. They could even use the same exact recipe. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's just competition in the market works.
The people who come out up with some sort of, like, it's usually like clothing or a purse or something like that when I see this on Instagram, and then they're complaining that, like, you know, something that makes crappy, cheap clothes put them out of business. It's like, do you think that you have some kind of right to have one job for the rest of your life, and like everyone else, like if they fail, they have to move on to something else? Like, I should be able to make this purse that's shaped like a taxi cab for the rest of my life and never have to work again, since it was just such a great idea, in my opinion. Anyways, this article from the AP says, please regulate AI. Artists push for U.S. copyright reforms, but tech industry says not so fast. And it's by Matt O'Brien. It says, country singers, romance novelists. That's funny. I seriously didn't. I might have read this the other day when I pulled this up, but I don't know why. When you were saying about authors, Riley, I was like, yeah, romance novelists. That's like the same stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah, it really is. It's a very similar story.
And of course.
But clearly, I mean, that is such a popular genre of music.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, of music. Of books, right, you know what I mean? Of literature.
But they're all
clearly
similar stories.
They are. No, it's complete crap. I mean, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But clearly, in a ton of other, you know, women's opinions, they love that. It doesn't matter if it's the same book over and over again. They want the smut aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have never been into romance novels, but just, I follow this one girl on YouTube, and she is more like sharing like her life with you, but she'll always tell you like what she's listening to and talk about it for a while, and I'm like, first of all, it all sounds the same. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I just can't put myself in the position to want to listen to that, but yes, there are tons and tons of people here talking about, like, what's her name? Something Hoover. Colleen Hoover. She writes, like, romance novels, and they all sound similar, and they're crazy popular.
Yeah.
This is, country singers, romance novelists, video game artists, and voice actors are appealing to the U.S. government for relief as soon as possible from the threat that artificial intelligence poses to their livelihoods. Please regulate AI. I'm scared, wrote a podcaster concerned about his voice being replicated by AI in one of thousands of letters recently submitted to the U.S. Copyright Office. That's just a ridiculous
quote. It's inevitable. Your voice is going to be replicated. I mean, think about Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
This show has been on for 21 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ian's voice will be replicated, Mark's voice will be replicated, you know, some of the hosts' voice will be replicated. It's just going to happen.
And it's just like, if you can't compete with an AI podcast, like, I've listened to some of them come out, and they're just total crap in my opinion. Ian's always like, it's so impressive. Yeah, it's impressive that a robot did that, but it's not like, oh, let's listen to this.
But a human being creating that is still more, it's still better.
Currently, humans, maybe one day it won't be.
Humans are going to provide more of an authentic touch to things, and maybe that's how we'll compete in the market, is we'll provide an authentic touch instead of just regurgitating interesting conversations.
It's like, why do you care what a robot pretends to think about a thing? If you're interested in listening to, like, somebody's, like, political opinions, the robot's opinions are, I feel like it's not important. But
So we're going back to, like, uniqueness, right? So if, like, basically what an AI does is it collects a bunch of data from, like, the internet or wherever, like, you feed it data and then it creates a thing. But if you have a genuinely unique thought, or if you're genuinely, like, doing something different, AI can't come up with that because they don't have access to that yet. They can copy you after the fact.
Yep.
But
let's also think about the fact that he's a podcaster. Like, how many podcasts are on the internet? Like, the idea that they're specifically going to want to make your voice doing a podcast when they can just make up a new voice, or just, you know, use Joe Rogan's voice. Well, for all I know, it is Joe Rogan, but I doubt he's writing them saying, please regulate AI, I'm scared.
I don't think Joe Rogan would be scared.
I think he'd be more curious, if anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing with Joe Rogan is, right, he has literally the most popular podcast in the world.
Yeah, he does.
So I doubt he's scared of it. You know what I mean? Like, he's not afraid of competition. How many podcasts are there? Like, millions? And Joe Rogan is the best.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Afraid of competition. Like, I don't listen to him or anything like that.
I don't know, but I doubt he would be, considering he has been, like, the number one podcast for years.
I just doubt he would be
scared. And
there's
millions of other podcasts, you know what I mean? Like, clearly, in the market, he's currently winning.
And he has already made so much money, he could just stop right now.
Yeah.
But so that just means that some random podcaster wrote the U.S. Copyright Office saying he's scared. It's like, your podcast could just start failing at any moment. Like,
yes.
You could say something that someone doesn't like, and they're like, cancel this, dude.
Yeah, cancel culture, right?
Yeah. You don't have some kind of right to not have your podcast fail. Like, that's ridiculous.
No, and this is the thing, too. Like, what we were literally just talking about, like, in the market, it's like, your business could fail for any reason. And you can't necessarily blame that on AI or on, you know, China knockoffs.
Now, coming back to this podcaster guy, I do have a podcast, but at the same time, I'm not worried about AI taking over my podcast or ruining my podcast or people no longer listening because there's an AI replicating my podcast for me. I'm not worried about it because, you know, maybe it would make my life easier to have an AI do my show.
Yeah, you could employ an AI, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, utilize that technology.
My days where, like, I couldn't get anyone to come in, I could do first year.
We have our robot.
Yeah, robot to be on. I still wouldn't give it rights. No, I'm just kidding. 603-283-6160. What do you think about all this? It's Free Talk Live, and you can call in at 603-283-6160. More coming up.
The robot host.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The investigation into the car explosion at the Buffalo-Canada border continues. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said it was not a terrorist attack.
There is no sign of terrorist activity with respect to this crash.
Two people were killed, one being a Western New Yorker, and a Border Patrol agent inside a booth sustained minor injuries. Donald Trump is widening his lead against President Biden in a 2024 presidential matchup. The Emerson College poll found 47% of respondents support Trump. That's compared to 43% who said that they would vote for Biden. Severe weather conditions are creating unsafe travel conditions today on Mid-Atlantic and Northeast highways. Flooding has been reported on several interstates, and wind gusts reaching 50 miles per hour are posing the risk of falling tree limbs and potential power outages. Forecasters say improved weather conditions should come in time for Thanksgiving. John Schaefer, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I wanted to tell you about Dash. This hour, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Talk about... Oh, sorry. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous Dash has the world's first decentralized autonomous organization, and BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. Spritz.finance allows for bill pay and cashes out to your bank. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. So we are... getting into this story from the AP, so APnews.com, about artists wanting the government to regulate AI for them. because they couldn't possibly just make better art or anything like that. And they have to make $1 million on every drawing they make or whatever it is that they make. I'm being hyperbolic, obviously, but I just think it's ridiculous.
I just think it's interesting that the artists are complaining about AI instead of utilizing it to their advantage and making it work for them.
That's such a good point. And I know at least one artist in my real life who is doing just that. Just he gets paid to make graphics. Actually, I think I know two in real life who are doing this. He gets paid to make graphics, and instead of complaining the AI took his job, he uses it and gets paid to make art 10 times faster.
Well, and this is the thing. So technology is constantly developing, and you can either use it to your advantage and go with the flow, or you can fight the current. But you're not going to win if you fight the current. You know, like, you're going to be blown downstream and you're going to be irrelevant. It's like the self-checkout at the grocery store. You know, you have, like, the old people who are like, no, I refuse to do your job for you. And they're just, like, fighting the self-checkout. And it's like, okay, well, one day there will only be self-checkout.
Yeah, at all.
And you won't know how to use it because you're going to be, like, 80 years old and, didn't practice. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's a stupid example, but, like, that's what I think of. You know what I mean? Like, all of this is stupid.
Before there's only self-checkouts, you're just going to be purposely going through a slower line just because you want to.
Yeah, it's just to make a point. You know what I mean?
And it's like the people who are like, oh, I want to talk to a human. There's just something you don't have to talk to a human for. Like, and are you really talking to the cashier? Or are you just like,
They're just moving stuff along generally. Sometimes it's nice to do self-checkout. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, it's quicker. It's funny, like at Aldi, that was the latest place that added the self-checkout.
Yeah, yeah.
So Aldi, you know, their whole thing is that they're German and that they do all these unique European things to make the groceries cost less and to make things more efficient. So they train their cashiers to, like, super quickly whip the groceries into your cart, and they save you money by not providing you with free bags. And Aldi's been doing this forever, so you have to pay your 25 cents for the grocery cart, and then you have to bring your own bags or buy bags from them. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, like, either way, you had to bag your own groceries.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have to do everything now. All you have to do is scan it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's almost easier in that setting to bag my own groceries.
The only reason it's ever, like, I feel like, now we're just talking about bagging groceries more than, like, this actual topic, but the only reason I ever find it more convenient to go to a person is when I have a huge full cart. Like, I went to Hannaford the other day for Thanksgiving shopping and going through the self-checkout. Even if they didn't have a limit, I think it actually is like 10 items or less, but even if they didn't have a limit, I would have gone to the people where I can just put it all up there and let them search through and get it. But I'm just talking about checking out groceries at this point. So let's go to your unscreened caller. What's your name and what's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Ed in Utah. I've talked to you before, Bonnie.
Hey.
Yeah. In case you didn't remember, folks, and that's a lot of people, not just the younger generation, today is the 60th anniversary of the killing of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, in my younger years and years back in the 70s, even in the 60s, of course, right through the 90s, every, major hurdle of that, like a milestone, 35, 30 years, 40 years of the JFK, it was always marked, always talked about. This was a very big thing for those of us alive during the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And so the reason I called about this, have anyone of you heard of the book Final Judgment by Michael Collins Piper?
No. I have not.
Okay. That book came out in 97. Those of us who have read it have said it's the last word on the JFK. Of course, you're going to have a lot of people saying, oh, well, there's Jim Mars, there's this, there's that. Yeah, a lot of contributors. All good. But most people in my generation remember Mark Lane. Maybe you've come across him. Very famous author and attorney. Very involved politically, this man. Mark Lane wrote Rush to Judgment, the first groundbreaking book on the JFK assassination. And he's the one that nailed the Warren Commission. However, he didn't have a conclusion, a final conclusion on, quote, who did it. But when Michael Collins Piper came out with Final Judgment in 1997, the great Mark Lane said, Michael Piper has pinned the tail on the donkey. So any of your listeners that want to talk about the JFK assassination and those in the CIA specifically, not just, oh, the CIA killed him, or Lyndon Baines Johnson, who obviously had a cover-up role, but he did not kill John F. Kennedy. The JFK assassination was the work of magicians, obviously, that we're still talking about years later. But I will make a challenge to any one of you. You read Final Judgment, you will believe like me that that's the final word on the JFK chapter.
That's really interesting. Thank you for the recommendation. It's kind of
Thank
funny
you.
That you bring this up today and that it was this date. And I did know that, but didn't think about it all day, because today I thought about the fact that I was like, they could kill Javier Milei just to scare people out of being libertarians and getting mm-hmm. into power. And I thought, wait, that would be kind of like a killing of a king ritual. And he goes by the king of the jungle. So if they did that, I bet that's what they're going to do. And they always bring up JFK in, conspiracy websites and stuff. We'll call it a killing of a king, which is allegedly a Masonic ritual, but they do a real blood sacrifice one when they kill people like Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln, like people who are incredibly popular. And I don't exactly know how to explain why they do it or anything. It's just a conspiracy, and it seems to happen a lot. And it's always like people that are really popular, and it's like, oh, it's so sad that he got killed, and it brings a chilling effect. And it's usually somebody who is going to do something good, like they say about JFK.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say the same about Abraham Lincoln. But I don't know. That just popped in my head today. I was like, it could be a killing of the king ritual. And then I was like, wait, he goes by King of the Jungle.
That'd be a little scary for sure. And I think it's interesting that we're talking about this now. I'm pretty sure that Lee Harvey Oswald did not assassinate JFK.
Right.
Definitely. Definitely a patsy, definitely a cover-up story. I mean, the U.S. government has done things like MKUltra and mind control experiments for years, and so JFK's assassination was definitely a patsy.
I mean, I think the same thing about John Lennon. So you have these figures that are either promoting peace or they're promoting some sort of, like, alternate agenda, right? Like, I don't think I'm sure that who was it? Mark David Chapman or whoever, assassinated or killed John Lennon. I mean, I'm sure he was either put up to it or, like Riley mentioned, MKUltra. Like, you can brainwash people to do stuff like this. I mean, who knows?
He was doing such weird crap. Like, he was more than schizophrenic. He was a total freaking weirdo, according to his ex-wife. The only book I've ever read about it was actually a book that's making the argument that JFK sold his soul to the devil right before the Beatles, like, popped off, which he doesn't make an amazing point, but it's a really interesting book.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory.
And I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. I've read it, like, twice. In the Lee Harvey Oswald stuff is all, like, facts about him, and it's totally freaking weird. Like, if he was MKUltra, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Moving on to more calls and thoughts. Tim in Florida, what's on your mind?
I never got on that pass. So are we in kindergarten?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Grocery shopping. Bags, no bags. I do grocery shopping and delivery through various entities. And, some places provide bags, some places provide boxes. You know how it goes. Aldi's, you got to buy the bags. It's all good.
Why did you ask if we're in kindergarten? I thought that was, like, going to play into your point somehow.
Oh, well, I hate it when people go into my head and they remove things from it without asking.
Okay.
Okay, that's interesting.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. So, oh, he stole my idea. It is really childish. You're right. Well, thank you for the call, Tim.
I didn't get it at first. I was either. Still like, what?
I thought you were talking about
but
what
now,
we were saying
yeah,
about
yeah.
MKUltra or something.
Yeah.
But it is true. It's really childish tactics when he stole your idea and then be mad
Stop
about it.
Stop copying me!
can contact Daddy Government saying, I'm scared, please regulate AI, like this podcaster really did.
Yeah, so before we move on, I just want to make a comment that as a blind person, I don't really particularly like self-checkout because I don't know where the barcode is on the on the grocery item. So it's just easier to have a person do it for me.
But that actually does, that makes a lot of sense.
There would always be an employee, though, right? Like if
there should be, yeah.
I mean, like one day there could be totally...
but there should be, like, someone there to help,
but
even if it is self-checkout.
But there could be a totally automated entire store.
Could be, yeah.
But they'd probably be purposely making it as accessible as possible. Yeah. Like, you'd have to
I mean, even, like, McDonald's, they could do that because they have the kiosks now that a lot of, like, McDonald's and, like, Taco Bell, you can go there and you can just order.
Yeah, but
Panera Bread's been doing that forever.
Yes,
but, so,
and they
so
did
that's
that
my point.
In
so,
McDonald's.
Like, yeah, so the kiosk, I didn't know they actually did it, but, like, so you order at the kiosk, right?
This
and then
only,
the robots make the food,
mm-hmm.
and then, I mean... It's already kind of like conveyor belt style
That's
food,
what they did.
Right? You know what I mean? So.
In a few locations for McDonald's, but it was only
But think of it, like now, you know, we're pushing for this, or not we're, but a lot of people in the United States specifically are pushing for $20 minimum wage, $15 minimum wage, whatever. And it's like, well, this is what happens. McDonald's can't afford to pay you $20 an hour
in
certain areas, you know what
wage.
I mean?
An even
$1,000 minimum wage. Let's push for it.
An even more accessible for blind people and faster for everyone type of grocery store would be what I have been saying since like I first ever got on Free Talk Live was that one day I want there to be grocery stores where literally you drive up and sit in a parking spot and you tell you can even like speak into like a drive through your order and it just assembles it all yourself and comes out and you grab it like a vending machine. That will one day probably happen.
Well, they had, like, the like, during COVID, this kind of started where, like, the curbside pickup. I guess that's, like, a little similar to that.
That's
for
still
me,
paying someone to go and grab everything from the store. That's just
yeah,
total
so you're talking about, automated by robots,
yes,
right?
Yes, like it,
yeah,
every
okay.
spot is the only spot, and it's all, like, underground. It comes up like a bank tube.
Yeah, see, that'd I don't like that because I... am like primarily eating like produce and meats, right? So
but
I'm like, I want to like
that weren't that way, you know.
I want to pick it up,
right? And I wouldn't want to.
I also don't like grocery shop.
Like
yeah, so like I also don't like grocery shopping. So I'm like, I will go to so many different farms
and that's
to avoid grocery shopping.
I love
you know
grocery
I mean?
Shopping. It's fun to me, but I still would love for that to exist for days where I don't feel like looking good.
Yeah.
I don't feel like walking around or whatever, and I just need to go grab something really fast, or I'm like really in a rush. Like today, I realized we were running out of something. I had to send my sister to go grab it right before work. Would have been much easier to sit in the parking spot and have it shoot up like a bank. Tube like they have. I don't know what you call those things. But moving back on to this AP article about AI, we told you in the last segment that a podcaster wrote the U.S. Copyright Office and submitted a complaint where he wrote, please regulate AI, I'm scared. And it says, technology companies, by contrast, are largely happy with the status quo that has enabled them to gobble up published works to make their AI systems better at mimicking what humans do. And that you can tell, just by the way they wrote that, that they're purposely writing it to make it sound like the tech people are like bad for doing this. Like, oh, their AI systems are gobbling up published works and mimicking what humans
do.
Yeah,
like, that's what it does.
And it's just, it's a tool.
That's just, like,
I'm
literally
sorry.
The function of it, though.
Right.
Like, what else is it going to do? Like, that is how it works.
It says, the nation's top copyright official hasn't, yet taken sides. Yet she told Associated Press that she's listening to everyone as her office weighs whether copyright reforms are needed for a new era of generative AI tools that can spit out compelling imagery, music, video, and passages of text. And
now,
that's just disgusting.
I just had a thought. So in the early days of recording, when they started recording on wax cylinders and things like that, I had this thought. So could you imagine the musicians of the late 1800s, early 1900s, suddenly be like, you know, we can't have these recordings of music everywhere being broadcast over a radio or whatever, or put on a wax cylinder, because then no one will come listen to us live.
Yeah, that's the point. And it's just silly, because you could either complain like that, or you could use it to make yourself more money by playing live and selling CDs or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that came quite a while after the first people doing that, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, whatever else they were listening to it on, records, I don't know. It is just disgusting to me that there's this lady, it didn't even say who she was. Oh, I see, Shira Perlmutter, that's her name. Never heard that name, but she's the copyright office lady, and the one that they referenced as the top copyright official.
And she's listening to everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's opinion, right?
It's
so she's,
disgusting.
One would assume, she's, I was about to say, what, is she listening to our show right now? Are you listening to my opinion?
Yeah, it's like,
probably
not everyone. It says, we've received close to 10,000 comments, says Shira Perlmutter, the U.S. Register of Copyrights, in an interview. Every one of them is being read by a human being, not a computer. Okay, sounds biased. And I myself am reading a large part of them, so obviously not everyone. We do have another call on the line. Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. What's on your mind, Ricky?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Sister Nikki. Brother Riley, good evening.
Good evening.
No doubt. Well, I've been sitting here listening to you here talking about the copyright laws. I just want to touch on a few things. Two of my favorite artists. We're going to start with the Beatles first. John Lennon said, music belongs to everyone. Producers just think they own it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one. Now, here's another. This is my number two, Buddy Holly. There are two recordings available that he called Decca. There were a total of three. You can find them in bootleg form. And it shows how smart Buddy was, but also the two calls were like really sad because he was totally screwed, you know. And it just shows what happened. So many artists. I mean, everybody from Little Richard to everybody. Everybody in the 50s got railed, you know. And now, today... It's funny because people like me and so many others that have been part of the sharing community throughout the years, we're considered criminals. Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
What do you mean, sharing what?
Sharing music.
Oh, yeah, well,
you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you're criminals,
but
the musicians are going to...
We're not getting any money for it.
The musicians are going to claim
for
criminals.
Money. We're just sharing like people always have, like Michael Moore said when he released Fahrenheit 9/11. He said anybody can share that in any way they wish, including it was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He says, I ain't hurting because sharing's what people always done. He got in a lot of trouble for that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you used to burn CDs and, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to make this mixtape for my crush, you know, stuff like that. I mean, like, that's kind of, I mean, people have been doing this for a long time. And now, you know, like through digital files, it's just easier for people to share music and movies and, you know, like all sorts of stuff. And I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. I do believe it is, you know, technically against the law in certain cases, depending on how you do it.
I just didn't know that pirating actually meant, like, making money off of it. I just was saying, you know, like, the act of torrenting. I didn't
know right, so the people who are uploading the files, either they get paid to, I guess, or they do it for free, or they are accepting donations.
Hmm.
But it also is illegal to, like, even if you're not making money off of it, like, if I were to send you a torrent... I think even just the act of downloading
it onto
your device.
I never used that, so I never. But I did want to say one more important thing before we go on. The good news is, and I wish Buddy, the Beatles, and so many others had something called streaming. Because, you know, finally artists are now able to get their share, and they're not really able to screw them anymore.
Streaming?
Yeah, because the deal's made, and you get so much. And the thing is, at least you're getting your money, you know? Maybe it ain't like per copy and all that stuff like it should be, but you're getting your money at least up front for streaming on a service. And it's a lot more fair than it used to be when producers just took your songs that you wrote like John Lennon did or Buddy Holly did.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Ricky. Yeah, I never heard that quote from John Lennon. It's really cool. Definitely cool to hear. I mean, like, that could be another reason that they killed him, because he was talking out about, I mean, like, they kind of seem to have killed Michael Jackson, and he was also talking out against his record company, record label company, for stealing from him and stuff. So maybe it's a reason that they killed him. Going on, this article says, what's at stake? Perlmutter, and if you remember, that's the lead lady from the Copyright Office, the feds. Perlmutter directed the U.S. Copyright Office, which registered more than 480,000 copyrights last year, covering millions of individual works, but is increasingly being asked to register works that are AI-generated. So far, copyright claims for fully machine-generated content have been soundly rejected because copyright laws are designed to protect works of human authorship. I didn't know that's how they get out of it, which is pretty cool. But Perlmutter asks, as humans feed content into AI systems and give instructions to influence what comes out, is there a point at which there's enough human involvement in controlling the expressive elements of the output that the human can be considered to have contributed authorship? And that's one question that the Copyright Office has been has put to the public. A bigger one, the question that's fielded thousands of comments from creative professions, is what to do about copyrighted human works that are being pulled from the internet and other sources and ingested to train AI systems, often without permission or compensation. Nothing. Like, you put it on the internet. It's like the people who are like, I can't believe that Facebook owns my likeness, and you put all your pictures there without reading the small font.
Yeah.
It says more than 9,700 comments were sent to the Copyright Office, part of the Library of Congress, before an initial comment period closed in late October. Another round of comments is due by December 6th. After that, Perlmutter's office will work to advise Congress and others on whether reforms are needed. But what are the artists saying? Addressing the ladies and gentlemen of the U.S. Copyright Office, the Family Ties actor and filmmaker Justine Bateman said she was disturbed that AI models were ingesting 100 years of film and TV in a way that could destroy the structure of the film business and replace large portions of its labor pipeline.
I don't think so.
I don't think
that
I also think that's either.
Like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And also, like, says who? You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds like...
How do we know that more jobs aren't going to be created because of AI, and more artists are going to be able to do things because of AI?
Yeah. Like, you just have to get all this plastic surgery done to your face. Maybe now they'll use AI to make it look like you had a nose job so you can get hired for more jobs.
Yep.
603-283-6160. And besides, like, the TV and film companies right now are ruining their own lives by striking. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.